Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Friends, the scripture readings for this weekend speak to us about the theme of fraternal correction. In the very first reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, it says, "Thus says the Lord, you, son of man, I have appointed watchmen for the house of Israel. When you hear me say anything, you shall warn them from me." In the ancient world, watchmen were on city walls or on hills, formed part of a defense system in biblical times. They would sound a warning when they saw undesired foreigners or an army. Ezekiel now sees himself as a prophet, as part of being a watchman, in charge of the well-being of his faith community. He must do his duty. The message of watchmen seems to be that we must be willing now to accept correction, first of all, from those in charge of our faith community. Children must accept it from parents. Parishioners must accept it from priests. Just as a watchman sounds the alarm when danger approaches, so too must the prophet sound an alarm, warning the people to change their ways and thus avoid the consequences that are awaiting them. Now notice, Ezekiel continues, "If I tell the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade the wicked from his way, the wicked shall, yes, die from his guilt, but I will hold you responsible for his death." What Ezekiel is getting at here is that we are all responsible for one another. Remember last week, we learned about how we must live out the three baptismal roles of priest, prophet, and king. Well, now Ezekiel is reminding us of the role of prophet, that we must be a prophet to the people in our faith community, all those people that we come in contact with in our daily life, our family members, our friends, relatives, co-workers. We must be a prophet to them, and we can be, by simply embodying the teachings of Christ, by how we live our life, by our actions as well as by our words. We will preach the Word of God. Remember last week, the quote from St. Francis of Assisi, "Preach the Word of God always, and if necessary, use words." Well, therefore, we must be a prophet. Yet now Ezekiel is telling us one of the responsibilities of being a prophet. We must be a watchman for all people. And this is what is leading us to that theme of fraternal correction. If we know somebody is engaged in a behavior that is detrimental to their life, whether it's physical, emotional, or their spiritual life, we must step up and say something to that person, because we have a responsibility to them. My friends, one of the greatest fallacies in this world is people believe that they can have a private life, separate and distinct from their public life, that the two are mutually exclusive. Furthermore, they believe that their private life will not affect their public life or will have an effect on other people in their lives that they come in contact with. And see, this is what Ezekiel as well as Jesus is teaching us. Yes, both our public and our private life are carefully intertwined. They're not mutually exclusive. They are very closely related to one another. Say, for example, a person is engaged in watching internet pornography at home. Now, the person says to themselves, you know, I'm not hurting anyone at all. I'm watching this at home, in private. No one gets hurt. No one knows about it except me. And therefore, it doesn't affect my public life or the relationships that I have with people at work or at home, family, friends. Well, I would argue, yes, it does. The private life is very closely connected to the public life. In this case, this person, if they continue to watch pornography on the internet, will begin to objectify people, especially women. This person continually watching internet pornography will now see women as an object of desire only. They will not see this person as an individual that is created by God and created in the image and likeness of God, and therefore deserves respect and love. See, then that person in their relationships that they have with people at work, at home, wherever at all, is going to be affected by that. He will continue to see women as merely objects of desire and gratification. Worse yet, that has a ripple effect now on the relationships that he has with other people in his life. All of his relationships will now be tainted and influenced because of his opinion, how his opinion has been formed by this internet pornography. See, what we have to understand is there is a corporate nature about sin. Sin affects an entire community. We just can't say, well, you know, my sin is private. Nobody knows about it. No one gets hurt. No one will be affected except myself. Well, we're just kidding ourselves if we truly believe that. There is a corporate nature of sin in which when we do sin, it has a ripple effect. It touches all the people that we come in contact in our lives. Regardless of what the sin is, it will influence and taint the relationships that we have with other people in our lives. And see, now we begin to understand why this message from the prophet Ezekiel, as well as Jesus, is so important. Now we begin to understand why we must practice fraternal correction. In the gospel, Jesus picks up on this theme from Ezekiel, and he says, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won him over as a brother. If he does not listen to you, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three persons. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen to even the church, treat him as though a Gentile or tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, Jesus essentially is teaching us, like Ezekiel, about fraternal correction. Yet in this case, Jesus gives us, in some ways, a three-step process on how we are to use it. The first step is mandated for dealing with the offending community member, and it's a direct and private one-on-one conversation that we have with that person. And that dates back or is recommended by Leviticus chapter 9, verse 17. And hopefully, the erring person would listen and therefore will be reconciled back to us. If that doesn't happen, then we take step two, as Jesus said. It's mandated in which now we confront this person with one or two additional witnesses. In some ways, this would be referred to as an intervention in our day and age. The final step is from Deuteronomy 19:15, and this is far more serious, in which now we bring that person to the church. And here, Jesus is giving now the church the authority, as he says, "To bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Jesus is now giving the church, in this case, the apostles, the authority to forgive sins. And, better yet, the authority in matters of faith and morals. And so, what we have to do is recognize that as our baptismal role of prophet, we must engage in fraternal correction with those people within our faith community that are engaged in behavior that can be destructive in their life. Now, this is difficult. This is a very difficult teaching. And when we hear this, we say to ourselves, hey, it's not my business. You know, I'm not going to be a judge for this person. Whatever he does, you know, he's responsible, not me. Well, Jesus, as well as the prophet Ezekiel, are telling us wrong. We are responsible to those people, whether it's in our family, our friends, our faith community. If we know that they have a problem, if we know they are engaged in destructive behavior, we have a moral responsibility as a prophet to help them and to correct their behavior. Why? Because of love for them. And see, that's what St. Paul is talking about in the second reading from Romans, in which he says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be, are all summed up in the saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no evil to a neighbor. Hence, love is the fulfillment of the law. My friends, we can and should practice fraternal correction. Why? Because we are motivated out of genuine love for one another. Now realize, when Jesus and St. Paul talk about love for one another, that we must have for each person in our life, what they mean is not the emotional or sensual love. To love one another in the biblical sense is to will the good of another. That's why you can love anyone in this world, even a complete stranger, even that person sitting next to you in the pew that you have no idea who they are. You can love them. Why? Because you will the good of that person. At the time of peace, when we all wish one another peace, you can turn to that person and say, peace be with you. And at the same time, you can say to that person, I will the very best for you. I will the best life, the best career, the best relationship, husband or wife, the best children, the very best in this world, I will for you. And I'll do whatever I can, whether it's through prayer, through action, whatever it is, to make sure that you have the best in this world. Well, now you have just loved that person. And therefore, out of genuine love for one another, we can practice fraternal correction. If we truly are concerned about one another, if we truly see each person within our faith community, each person at Mass, whether they're sitting in front of us, behind us, on either side, if we truly see them as a brother and sister in Jesus Christ from our baptism, adopted sons and daughters of the Father, then yes, we can and we will help them. We will practice fraternal correction if they are engaged in behavior that is detrimental to their life because we love them, because we want the very best for them. And may the peace and the grace of Christ rest upon you always.